there was not one feeble or one sick among them. Well, now there's another picture of what God wants His people to be. He does not want us to be feeble and sick and old and wore out. He wants us to be strong. And so He brought them out and He brought them over to the promised land, and they went in and they found, man, did they find the fruit and the vegetables and the stuff in that place. Wow, they come out saying, this is truly the land of promise. Wow, it's loaded with milk and honey. And the Lord says, okay, now then, this is the land that I've given you. He says, now go in and possess the land. And they said, Lord, we can't do that. There's giants in there. But He said, I'm with you. I'm a whole lot bigger than any giant you ever seen. Haven't you seen me do all these miracles? And they said, but Lord, we don't believe we can do it. It would have been better if we'd have died in the wilderness. He was a little upset with them. And so He said, okay, I've given you this freedom. I've given you this liberty. But now then, since you don't believe me, out of the words out of your own mouth, I will judge you. Are your words important? Your words are very important. All these things were given as a picture. When the Lord says, when they says, we can't take it. He said, but I'll go with you. And they said, we still don't believe we can do it. It would have been better had we died in the wilderness. He said, I will judge you from your own words. Every one of you that's above 20 years of age, you'll walk around the mountain for the next 40 years, and every one of you will die, and not one single one of you will enter into my rest because of your unbelief. We haven't changed much today in the church. We still don't believe we can take the land. So when people call me and say, Thurman, my aunt or my uncle or my mother or my dad's laying down here in the hospital, or they're in Oklahoma City, or they're in Baltimore, Maryland, or wherever it is. I've had people call me from every place you can imagine and say, nobody in my family saved. Even my mother, which is dying, is not saved. But if you will fly up here, I'll buy you an airplane ticket. And if you'll come in and pray for my mother and God raise her up off that bed, I know my entire family will get saved. You shook your head like you don't believe that, brother. It don't work, does it? Now, I have done that before. I have done that before and went and prayed for somebody. And I can think about right here in my own hometown of Justin, right here, there was two men that both of them were in their 70s. And this has been about 15 years ago, 15 or 20 years ago. And one of these men went to a Baptist church and the other one went to a Church of Christ. And the man that went to the Baptist church come down with prostate cancer. And that night at church, I happened to be in that same church, and that night he come in and told me he had prostate cancer, and his name was Fred Simmons. I said, Fred, we need to pray for you tonight before we leave. He said, that sounds like a good idea. He was one of the deacons there, so he went up and told our little pastor. He said, you know, before we leave tonight, I want us to have a prayer meeting for me. I got to go to the hospital in the morning at 7 o'clock and have prostate surgery. And so we went through church as normal. We got through with the church that night, and they said a closing prayer and dismissed. And we started walking out, and I jumped up and said, hey, wait a minute. Fred asked us to pray for him. Oh, the pastor said, that's right, I forgot that, Thurman. Thank you for reminding us. And so we all that was left gathered around Fred Simmons, and of course some of them prayed, now, Lord, as he goes to the doctor in the morning, please be with the doctor. Help them guide their hands so they get all of his cancer. Is that the way we pray? That's the way we pray. That's the way lots of people pray. But not everybody prays God. But I prayed, Lord, I don't want him to have no cancer in the morning. When he gets to the doctor, I want that thing gone in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you to take it away. You said, Father, in Jesus' name, I could ask for anything. And I believe you. Now, as far as I know, I was the only man prayed like that. But the next morning, when Fred gets to the doctor does some blood work on him. And he checks him, and he comes back and he checks him. And he comes back and said, Fred, I don't know what happened to you since Friday. Friday, when I checked your blood, it was awful. But he said, this morning, there's nothing wrong with you. He said, what did you do over the weekend? He said, I went to church and they prayed over me. Oh, well, that couldn't have had any impact. you know, what would prayer? I mean, you know, that kind of stuff don't work no more. But anyway, they sent Fred Simmons home. And of course, Fred's wife, you know, I mean, now if you want something told, tell it to a woman. She, especially if it's good news. And that Christian woman, she called everybody in Justin and I don't know how far away and told everybody what God did for her husband. She was a happy camper. You think God was pleased with her? Of course. I mean, she was telling it because it happened to her husband. Well, we go through the next several months, and of course, Fred's doing great. I mean, he has no problems. And he never did have more trouble with prostate. But anyway, I was back here one day, and my neighbor that was his neighbor, that real close to him, he owns a piece of land behind me, and I was back there working on a fence one day, and this man come back there. I won't call his name. But he come back there and he said, "Hi, Thurman, how are you doing?" And I was building fence. And I said, "Well, praise God, I'm doing good." He said, "What's good in your life?" I said, "Everything, praise God, everything's good." He said, "What? I never seen nobody so happy as you are." I said, "I'm happy because I know Jesus." And I said, "Jesus is doing wonderful things." He said, "Like what?" And I said, "Well, he's doing lots of things." But I said, "How about your neighbor, Fred?" I said, "He healed him of cancer." "Oh, yeah, I heard about that," he says. But he says, "What kind of cancer did he have?" I said, "Well, I don't know." At that time, I didn't even know. He said, "See there? You don't even know he had prostate cancer." I said, "Well, I'd forgot. I knew he had something. I just prayed." And he said, "See, if you had healed him, you would have known what he had." I said, "Hey, I didn't heal him. I just prayed for him." I said, "Jesus healed him." He said, "Thurman, you're crazy." I said, "No, I'm not crazy." I said, "You know he went to the doctor. He's your neighbor. You know he was diagnosed with prostate cancer or whatever it was. And then you know he's healed months later with no surgery." "Yeah," he said, "that's what I heard." But he said, "You know, I think it was just a wrong diagnosis." He said, "You know, Jesus quit doing miracles back in the days of the apostles." I said, "Well, I never found that in the Bible. I never found anywhere in God's Word where it says Jesus stopped doing miracles." I said, "He's still doing them." He said, "Thurman, you're crazy." And he turned and walked off. And to this day, this man, he virtually won't have a thing in the world to do with me. All I did was pray for his neighbor, got his neighbor healed, and he don't believe it. Why? Because he goes to a church of Christ that teaches that God don't do miracles no more. And so he believes his pastor instead of the Word of God. Now, there's a lot of people in church that believe their pastors instead of the Word of God. Now, the Word tells you right here that stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. So if I'm free, what am I free of? I'm free of everything. I have total freedom in Christ. Well, if I have total freedom in Christ, then why are so many of us living in bondage? Because we don't know the truth. We don't know the truth. It says, "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now then, I'm supposed to be free from sin. I'm supposed to have died to sin, according to the Word. If I am free from sin, and I've died to sin, Paul makes a statement in the Word in so many places, if I'm dead to sin, how in can a dead man sin again? You ask the average Christian, do you think that you can go through, in fact, I'll just ask you this question, you don't have to hold up your hand if you don't want to, but how many of you believe you can go through a day as a Christian without sinning? Praise the Lord. I know you can. I know you can. But see, you got to get that in your head and in your heart that I can do this. That's just like if I were to ask some of these guys in here, do you believe you can make a strawberry cake? A lot of them probably say, well, I got a wife who knows how to make one. But that ain't what I ask you. How many of you believe you can? Now, some of you may say, hey, no problem. I'm the cook at our house. I can make anything. And that's happened sometimes. You get a woman that don't cook and her husband can, but, you know, that's kind of rare. Or sometimes you get a family that can't either one of them cook. You know, so that's just the way it is, you know. sometimes that some of the girls we have today, they were raised up with a mother that didn't teach them how to cook. And then one day when they got married, that guy was expecting that girl to know how to cook, especially if he didn't know how to cook. And so when they get married, they can only live on love for about a week, and then he expects her to fix something to eat. Honey, fix her something to eat. She said, I don't know how to cook. What? You don't know how to cook? I don't know how to cook either. We're in big trouble. So somebody's going to have to learn. So somebody's going to have to get the cookbook out and learn how to cook. And usually it's a girl, but not always. Sometimes it's the guy. But if we're smart, mother would teach both the boys and the girls in her home how to take care of everything, how to cook, how to wash dishes, how to do all those things. And when you get a mother like that, you got a smart mother. And so when you raise up children like that, those children are really free. They have no bondage. I mean, so it makes no difference what happens if they get out living by themselves somewhere, whether it be the boy or the girl. He knows how to shop, he don't have to stop in a restaurant. You know how expensive it gets if you got to eat in a restaurant every meal? Yeah, I mean, that gets some kind of expensive. You can go into the best, cheapest little restaurant in town and eat a couple of eggs or maybe a pancake, and if you get it for $5, you're lucky. Well, let me tell you, for $5, I can buy a giant box of cereal and a gallon of milk, and I can have breakfast every morning for a week on $5. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And you know, you can buy you a dozen eggs for $1 or $1.50, and you can eat all week on $1.50 on eggs, right? So if you can cook yourself, you really have liberty, don't you? Because you can make it. You won't starve to death. But the Lord here, He has made us free. He tells us now, do not be entangled again with that yoke of bondage. But some of us, I don't think ever get out of bondage. We don't ever learn. In other words, we're just like when the Lord brought the people out of Egypt. He brought them out. He showed them all kinds of miracles and healings and everything else. And then they come to the land of promise. And He says, now go in and I want you to live in the promised land. Well, today, I know very few Christians living in the promised land. Because in the promised land, there is prosperity, there is no sin, and there's no sickness and no disease in the promised land. Now, and there's plenty to eat. I mean, you can go out and pick the fruit off of a tree anytime you want it, or dig fruit out of the ground, and it's all there for you in the promised land. That's where God wants us to live.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Flesh and Spirit War Against Each Other, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.